Welcome to the OCR GCSE PE Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in your course, skill execution and technique. Whether you're preparing for your written Component 01 exam or getting ready for your Component 03 practical assessment, this episode has everything you need. So grab a pen, find a comfortable spot, and let's get started. Let me set the scene. This topic sits at the heart of GCSE PE. In your written exam, you'll be asked to classify skills, analyze movement, and apply practice structures. In your practical assessment, you'll need to demonstrate those skills under real competitive pressure. The two are deeply connected, and the best candidates understand both sides. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for and how to give it to them. Let's start with the big picture. What actually is a skill? In PE, a skill is defined as a learned ability to bring about a predetermined result with maximum certainty and minimum outlay of time and energy. That definition is worth memorizing. Notice three key parts. It's learned, it's intentional, and it's efficient. A skill isn't just doing something, it's doing it well, consistently, and without wasting effort. Now, OCR wants you to be able to classify skills using what we call the four-skill continua. Think of each continuum as a sliding scale between two extremes, and your job is to place a skill somewhere along that scale and justify why. The first continuum is environmental influence. At one end, you have closed skills performed in a stable, predictable environment where the performer controls the timing and execution. Think of a gymnast performing a vault or a swimmer diving off the blocks. At the other end, open skills are performed in an unpredictable, constantly changing environment. A football player receiving a pass under pressure from defenders is a classic open skill example. The key word here is environment. When you classify a skill on this continuum, always mention the environment. Say something like, "The changing defensive formation makes this an open skill." The second continuum is muscular involvement. Gross skills use large muscle groups and require whole body movement, sprinting, jumping, throwing. Fine skills use small, precise muscle movements, a snooker shot, an archery release. Most sports skills sit somewhere in between, but you need to justify your placement. Third is the pacing continuum. Self-paced skills are controlled entirely by the performer. They decide when to start. A golf drive is self-paced. Externally paced skills are controlled by an external factor. A cricket batsman must respond to the bowler's delivery. The timing is not in their hands. Fourth, and the one candidates most often get wrong, is the continuity continuum. Discrete skills have a clear beginning and end, a penalty kick, a tennis serve. Continuous skills have no clear start or finish and repeat in a cycle, cycling, running. Serial skills are a sequence of discrete skills linked together, a triple jump, a gymnastics floor routine. The triple jump is the classic exam trap. Candidates often say it's continuous because it flows, but it's actually serial. It's a sequence of discrete phases, the hop, the step, and the jump. Remember that. Now let's talk about skill acquisition, how we actually learn and improve skills. OCR expects you to understand different practice structures and when to use them. Fixed practice involves repeating the same skill in the same conditions over and over. This builds a strong motor program, the mental blueprint for movement. It works best for closed skills like a gymnastics vault or a swimming start. Variable practice involves performing the skill in different contexts and conditions. This is ideal for open skills because it prepares the performer for the unpredictability of competition. A footballer practicing passing from different positions and under different defensive pressures is using variable practice. Massed practice means practicing with no or very short rest intervals. It's efficient for simple skills and for experienced performers who can maintain concentration. Distributed practice includes rest intervals between bouts of practice. It's better for beginners, for complex skills, and for skills that are physically demanding, because fatigue can cause bad habits to form. Here's a quick exam tip. When a question asks you to recommend a practice structure, you must justify your choice based on two things: the type of skill and the level of the performer. Just naming the practice type is AO1 knowledge. Justifying it is AO2 application, and that's where the extra marks are. Now let's move to the analyzing and evaluating performance task, the AEP. This is worth a significant chunk of your marks, and it's where many candidates lose points unnecessarily. The AEP requires you to watch a performance, identify faults, explain why they're causing problems, and suggest corrections. The golden rule of AEP: be specific. Never write bad technique or poor form. Examiners cannot award marks for vague descriptions. Instead, use biomechanical language. Say, the candidate fails to fully extend the elbow at the point of release, reducing the lever arm length and therefore limiting the force transferred to the ball. That's the kind of language that earns marks. Structure your AEP analysis chronologically. Start by identifying the specific phase of movement, preparation, execution, or follow-through. Then name the biomechanical fault. Then explain the mechanical cause and its impact on the outcome. Finally, propose a specific progressive drill to correct it. I call this the OIEC framework. Observe, identify, explain, correct. Use it every time. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're analyzing a basketball free throw. You observe the shot, you identify the fault, the player's elbow flares outward during the execution phase rather than staying aligned under the ball. You explain, this reduces the efficiency of force transfer and causes the ball to deviate laterally, reducing accuracy. You correct. Use a wall drill where the player practices the shooting motion with their elbow touching the wall to enforce correct alignment, progressing to shooting from close range before returning to the free throw line. Notice how specific that is? Phase identified, fault named with biomechanical precision, impact on performance explained, progressive drill proposed. That's a full mark AEP response. Now let's talk about component 03, your practical assessment. This is where you demonstrate core and advanced skills, and it must be in a full competitive context. This is a point many candidates miss. OSHA requires evidence of skills performed under competitive pressure, not isolated drills. If your video evidence shows you practicing a skill in a drill with no opposition, that evidence will not attract the highest marks. Your video evidence must capture the full outcome of the skill. If you're shooting in basketball, the camera must show the ball entering or missing the basket. If you're serving in tennis, the camera must show where the ball lands. Incomplete evidence limits the marks examiners can award. For core skills, you need to demonstrate consistent execution with control and fluency. For advanced skills, the bar is higher. You need precision, adaptability, and the ability to maintain technique under pressure. Think about what makes a skill look effortless. That's fluency. That's what you're aiming for. Let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. I want to spend a couple of minutes on the things that separate a grade 7 response from a grade 4 response. First, always use the command word as your guide. If the question says identify, give a brief factual answer. If it says explain, you must say how or why, not just what. If it says evaluate, you need to make a judgment, not just describe. Candidates who ignore command words consistently lose marks that are right there for the taking. Second, AO1 versus AO2. AO1 is knowledge, what you know. AO2 is application, using that knowledge in a specific context. Many candidates write AO1 responses to AO2 questions. If the question says, explain how you would use variable practice to improve a footballer's passing, don't just define variable practice. Describe it being used specifically with a footballer in specific drills with specific conditions changing. That's application. Third, the continuity continuum trap. We mentioned this earlier, but it's worth repeating. The triple jump is serial, not continuous. A gymnastics floor routine is serial. Continuous skills have no clear start or finish and repeat in a cycle. If you can identify a clear beginning and end to each element, it's not continuous. Fourth, in the AEP, don't describe the skill when you're asked about its impact. If the question asks, what is the impact of the elbow fault on performance? Don't describe what the elbow is doing. Explain what happens to the shot as a result. Now for a quick fire recall quiz, I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast, write your answers, then come back and check. Question 1, name the 4 skill continua. Question 2, what is the difference between massed and distributed practice? Question 3, a gymnast performing a vault, is this an open or closed skill and why? Question 4, what does OIEC stand for in AEP analysis? Question 5, what type of practice is most appropriate for a beginner learning a complex skill and why? Pause now and write your answers. Ready? Here are the answers. 1, environmental influence, muscular involvement, pacing, and continuity. 2, massed practice has no or minimal rest intervals. Distributed practice includes rest intervals between practice bouts. 3, closed skill, because the environment is stable and predictable. The vault doesn't move, there are no opponents, and the gymnast controls the timing entirely. 4, Observe, identify, explain, correct. 5. Distributed practice because rest intervals prevent fatigue, which can cause poor technique to become ingrained, and beginners need time to process and consolidate new movement patterns. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up. Today, we covered the 4 skill continua and how to classify skills with justification. We looked at practice structures, fixed, variable, masked, and distributed, and when to use each one. We explored the AEP framework using OIAC, and we talked about what component 03 examiners are actually looking for in your practical evidence. The key message is this: specificity wins marks. Whether you're classifying a skill, analyzing a fault, or justifying a practice structure, the more specific and precise your language, the more marks you earn. Vague answers get vague marks. Precise, biomechanically grounded answers get full marks. Before your exam, make sure you can define all 4 continua, give 2 examples for each end of each continuum, explain all 4 practice structures with appropriate contexts, and write a full OIAC analysis for at least 3 different sports. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your revision, and remember, the difference between a good performance and a great one is exactly the same as the difference between a good exam answer and a great one. Precision, control, and fluency under pressure. You've got this. See you next time.